Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them on a personal level. Go check out and follow the Pirates Overboard Instagram page for all of our content. And if you want to go watch our podcasts, go to our YouTube page at Pirates Overboard. So let's get into it.
Our next guest on the show is Wen Zhi, a grad student athlete golfer for your men's golf team. Wen has a great story from growing up in China to completing high school on the west coast of California to eventually getting recruited across the U.S. to the east coast to Seton Hall University to compete on the golf team. Wen has had a great career thus far as a Pirate, being named a 2021-2022 All Big East second team as well as Ping All Region team that same year. We got to discuss Wen's early life, recruiting story, everything golf, of course, academics here at the Hall, and much, much more. We really enjoyed chatting with Wen on the show, and we wish Wen the best of luck with the remainder of his season. So we'll get right into it. Without further ado, Wen Zhi.
Welcome, Wen Zhi, a member of the Seton Hall golf team, and we're really happy to have you on. You just came off of a great performance at the Princeton Invitational, where you shot 500 par for the weekend and you were tied for fourth overall in the tournament. And the week prior, you were Big East Golfer of the Week. So how are you doing today on this great eclipse type of Monday afternoon?
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, just trying to enjoy playing good golf, because in golf, oftentimes you're not very consistent. And when you find a good period of time where you're playing good, I try to just enjoy it. And sadly, our team came short a little bit, so hopefully we'll bounce back. And yeah, the eclipse is cool.
Yeah, that's for sure. It got a little dark, a little eerie outside for a little bit. I didn't look up. I don't have any of the glasses, so didn't get to look and see it. But I've heard from others it's looking pretty cool. So just talk about what went on this weekend's tournament at the Princeton Invitational. What were some of the good things that you saw from the team? What were some of the bad that you maybe are looking to improve upon as you get ready for the Shark Invitational at the Brookville Country Club?
I think our team have always had the ability to win the tournaments that we're at, but we've always struggled to perform at the right time, or we need all of us to play well at the same day, or a couple of us are struggling sometimes. And I think got to be a little bit stronger mentally out there in the cold wind. And just trying to get better.
Yeah, it's been kind of brutal in the Northeast, where it's been either pouring rain or really cold. And finally, it looks like this week, it's finally going to warm up a little bit. Maybe even early on next week, where you guys are playing next week at Brookville Country Club. So how does the weather impact you guys on a week in, week out basis? Because like, if it's pouring rain and sometimes you still got to go out there, mm-hmm. How does that impact your guys' play?
Well, since it's an outdoor sport, the conditions of the golf courses affect this a lot. So when it rains or when the ground is really soft, usually it affects us with our distances, like the ball won't roll out, mm-hmm. or affects around the green where we have to adjust from our practice environments, and that's usually where the difficulty is if the conditions are different. But other than that, just try and stay strong mentally out there.
Yeah, that's fair, and it must feel good to know that some sun, some warm weather. Yeah. I was talking to Luters earlier on, like, for baseball weather, some sun, some warm weather.
Absolutely.
always helps the mental, especially where it's been raining what it feels like every other day for the past, 2-3 weeks. So talk to us a little bit more about what went right for you this weekend. As I mentioned before, shooting 500 par for the weekend and tying individually fourth overall in the tournament. So what were some of the things that went well for you?
I think I managed my expectations really well. I knew what I can do, and I stayed calm and just tried to minimize mistakes. That's it.
Nice. So what are some of the things next weekend at the Shark, like I said, the Shark Invitational at Brookville Country Club, that you're looking forward to? Is this a course that you've been to in the past?
No, so this is our first time playing in the event, and fortunately we're able to bring all the guys.
Oh, there. Sweet.
Nice. So usually we get to bring five or six, but this time everybody's going. So be a good chance for some of the guys on the team to prove themselves and try and make it to the Big East lineup.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before, Big East coming up really soon for all the spring sports. Right, it's kind of like jumped on me where like obviously as the fifth years, all of us in this room, like graduation's coming up for us again and the end of the semester stuff, but you don't realize until like you're looking at the schedule like, oh yeah, tennis Big East next week. Yeah. Women's golf the week following, then men's golf, softball, then you guys finishing up at the end of middle-ish of May.
Yeah.
So it is flying by here. So let's go into your time before coming to Seton Hall. So what got you into playing golf in the first place?
I was born during when Tiger Woods is doing really well during the golden ages. So my parents kind of saw that as a career path and sort of chose it up for me. And but I've enjoyed it like since I was 4 or 5 years old. Like I started really young. And yeah, just golf's been a huge part of my life just because of that.
Mm-hmm. So you got Tiger Woods to thank to get you into golf.
Definitely.
Awesome. I would say, so for you golfing at such a young age, was there any other sports that you played growing up, or was it just solely golf?
Just golf, just competitively. Golf. Yeah, but nice. I've played a lot of soccer for fun, but yeah, nothing serious.
Wow, crazy. Awesome.
Is there anything that you now, as you're a college golfer, that you try to emulate from Tiger Woods' game? Like, are you looking at videos and breaking down like, oh, this is what I want to try to do with my shots and stuff like that?
I would try, but it's hard to emulate that. And I'm sure you guys have heard it, like in golf, swing your own swing. Mm-hmm. Trust in what the work you put in yourself. And
it's nice here at Seton Hall with the golf simulator in the room next door.
Yeah, really, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, is that coming here? That was up and running by the time you got here, right? Mm-hmm. So was that something that was like new for you in your career? Golf career path, in a sense that you never got to use a simulator like that before?
Yeah, definitely. Never had access to something like that back home or here for high school in the US. So having that gave me a lot of data on what I'm doing with the golf swing and helped a lot, definitely.
Yeah.
Was there any particular thing, like whether it's like driver or chipping, like I'm not the golf expert or anything like that, but is there anything that's helped you in particular with the golf swing, like any like one stroke, or is it any like driving? Was there something that golf swing really helped you that wouldn't have access to without it?
So prior to like the TrackMan, which is the simulator we have,
right,
prior to having that in golf, trying to fix your swing has always been like guesswork.
Sure.
Like trying to guess what's going on or what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas the machine can tell you the exact data of how your body move is correlating to how the ball's reacting to the strike.
Right.
So I think just having that accurate or factual data helps me a lot in terms of trying to improve my golf game.
Does it have like a video thing? So like obviously it has it shows where the ball goes.
Yep.
But does it have like a video of your actual swing along with that?
Yep.
Too?
Oh, that's awesome. And it also gives you some data on the angle of the loft of the club coming in.
Sure. Right.
Like at impact with the ball and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. I think it's like similar to baseball getting on plane, all those things.
TrackMan.
There is. We have one at the stadium, awesome. But it's not. That's more tracking, like for, I guess for pitching, like how fast ball is coming in, how fast the ball is going out. Yeah. We don't have the video, with the. I could be totally wrong. we don't have the video with the TrackMan. We have an individual video that we do on the sides, like side angle and whatnot. But I agree, the before video and before like stuff like TrackMan, there was really just a lot of guessing.
Yeah.
Like whether, and I think for our sports being more technical with swings, like you wish went off feel, but now you can go with the video and be like, oh, like I'm feeling this, but it looks like this, and I actually need it to be like this. And that's what the video is really helpful for. I'm not sure if you feel
that's very relatable.
Yeah.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, it's like the feel, they say feel versus real is what they say. It's like what you're feeling in your swing, what's actually happening can be different or the same. And what's the same, it's pretty easy and straightforward, but it's not always like that. So you gotta, awesome.
Wow, I feel left out of this conversation.
I don't get a track, man.
I don't get video stuff.
Well, I guess for a field versus reel and swim would be the way you feel you're like swimming with your arms or feet or whatnot. But if it looks different, that's like the
call. Yeah, I think the biggest reel versus feel is our club or our bat is our arm or our catch. So what this looks like here with your elbow in your hand, basically, and how you're catching that water for each stroke.
Trackman for swimming is next.
Yeah, we gotta work on something like that. I don't know, it's uninvented, so maybe, hey, we're architects, we're podcasters, we're athletes. what, Trackman inventist is something new?
I bet with all, especially with all the AI stuff coming out, there's gonna be definitely something to show, like, to improve so many strokes easier in college,
back to before Seton Hall, what were some of the courses that you enjoyed playing at home that you grew up with and were able to advance your skills to get to the college level?
I kind of just stayed at one course growing up. I played a bunch of junior tournaments, which courses I don't remember the name of. But there's one course in particular I've played, which is really cool, where they held one of the pro events. It's called Shoshan.
Okay.
And it was definitely opened my eyes to how good a course can be.
How so? In what ways was it good? Was it the length of the course? Was it just the beauty of it? What made it so good?
The condition of the course and how well maintained it is. It takes a lot of time, money, and effort to maintain the course, so it's really impressive seeing that.
Is that just on from everything from the greens to the fairway, all of it? Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, I know. I can relate again in terms of baseball, like for field conditions, like a really well maintenance grass and dirt field is just very, very satisfying to play on. And unfortunately, in the Northeast, it's far and few between because of the weather conditions. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine for golf, like how big that really is.
Definitely.
Yeah, that is for sure. So what was it like moving from China to America, and what was that transition like for you? Whether that was in the golf aspect of things or like even just the social aspect of things coming here.
So I went to a international school in China where they prepare you to move to the U.S. for school later on. Mm-hmm. So I was proficient in English when I came here, so I didn't really struggle with language transition. But I did struggle a little bit with the cultural and social norms, and had a tough time fitting in high school. But I went to Village Christian High School in California, a small Christian school, very nice people. And I think having those nice people there helped me fit in or get accustomed to the U.S. a lot better.
Yeah, and it must have been really awesome too to have like kind of have a team behind your back too with the golf team there. So how did the golf team kind of take you in and really help you through that transition process during your high school years?
Definitely gave me a sense of belonging. We weren't very good, but we had a lot of fun traveling and playing some golf. And the coaches we had are still mentors of mine, and they've talked me through a lot of things. I go to them for help sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it made it easy transition coming from China to a high school in the U.S. to then going to college versus if you went right from China to college? I know a lot of student athletes do that. Yep. Like a lot of soccer players, one that I come from Europe, it's their first time in the U.S. when they get to college. Mm-hmm. Do you think going to high school in the U.S. helped you with the transition to going to, I guess, from West Coast to East Coast? I know it's still a jump, but do you think the experience in high school helped you adjust to college life now?
Most definitely.
Nice.
I didn't have enough winter coats when I
got there. Oh, that? Yeah.
My teammates had to take me shopping.
I hope they got you lots of North Face and Under Armour. Actually, they got a lot of Under Armour puffers probably here, hopefully.
Oh, finally.
Yeah,
that's funny. So what were some of the cultural things that you experienced moving from West to East Coast? Because I never even thought about that. We've both lived on the East Coast our whole lives.
Yeah.
I've never been to California. I've never been past Nebraska, so I don't know what the West Coast vibe our cultural norm is, but like, what was that transition like?
I would say people in the West Coast are just more relaxed, takes their time with things, whereas East Coast, everyone's a bit of a go-getter.
Yeah.
Very fiery, for sure.
Interesting. And how about with the transition, or as you said, some cultural norms from China to, I guess, the West Coast. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest culture shock when you got to the West Coast?
Been here for so long. I don't know. I would say I definitely felt like I didn't belong, more so than they didn't think that I belonged. Okay. So I think it was more of an internal issue.
Then
once I got to know the people at my school, everyone was pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like, no matter if you're just like, I don't want to compare this, but for myself going to Seton Hall, like you feel like, oh, like you're all new and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But then like you have a team and you get accustomed to your team and it's much easier adjusting. But again, I'm sure going from a whole different country to here the first time, that has me adjustment. And even more so, West Coast, East Coast, the weather, are we kidding me? I agree.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's really brutal. Anyways.
I've always been accustomed to the snow, the cold, that's fine with me. I love it, to be honest with you. So when you were looking to play at the college level, what were some of the skills that you tried to highlight to show different universities what you could do on the golf course to basically help recruit yourself?
So we usually, when we're trying to get recruited, we invite the coaches and they would come watch. Mm-hmm. And I think showing a good attitude on the course is very important to the coaches, how you react to your mistakes and how you react to a bad round. Shows a lot of your character, which I think coaches look at a lot. Mm-hmm. And course management shows your maturity. So if someone's trying to get recruited, they want to be smart on the course, or at least display that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were going out the recruiting, I guess, process, did you seek out Seton Hall, or seek out you for something you did in the course? How did that process really work?
Yeah, it's a funny story. So I was originally planning to take a gap year because I wasn't familiar with the recruitment process, because I wasn't from the U.S.
Yeah.
My parents didn't speak English, so I had to figure it out on my own, and I didn't figure it out.
Well, you did eventually. Yeah.
So I came up to New York to play a junior tournament. And invited the Holy Cross coach to come watch. Mm-hmm. Who is friends with Clay, who was our coach at the time.
Sure.
And he was there to watch a different player, but joined up with the Holy Cross coach. And they were walking, and I got denied from Holy Cross, and he made a suggestion that I should talk to Clay, our old coach.
Okay.
And he just kind of offered. When I came to the visit, and I just took it.
Wow. So he offered when you were on the golf course, when you came to here to visit?
When I came to here after I finished the round.
Wow. Look at that. There you go. Love it.
Scooped me up.
That's awesome. So that's actually a perfect transition, Jonathan, to your time here at Seton Hall. And you've got to experience a lot because you're in our grade. You got to experience a pandemic. You got to win a Big East title as a team. And now your guys are in the hunt again to win another one in graduate year. So what has it been like playing these past 5 years with the Seton Hall golf team?
I enjoyed it a lot. The guys on the team are awesome, hard workers, very supportive. So yeah, just I've enjoyed it through and through.
Now, earlier in the year, we sat down with Gregor and he talked about that Big East run. What was that like for you in that grind? He talked about like all the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the mental grind of it, like staying on top of everything. Mm-hmm. To really come out on top. So what was it like for you that during that year, and what was it like going to those championship rounds with Gregor and Andres at the helm?
It was very intense. It felt like we were making promises to ourselves and we were fulfilling them. So it was a very good feeling to have in golf, especially when the team hadn't had too many successes or wins prior to that year, and being able to perform to the ability that we thought we could was amazing.
Yeah, I remember watching that tournament so closely, and I was really excited. And what at the time, and Coach Harper explained it to us when we had him on way back in December as well, about when Gregor gave up the individual title for UConn player, drawing a blank on his name, to basically win, to give him a chance and give him a spot at NCAA tournaments. What do you remember from that moment, and how have you taken that leadership from him and kind of are now using it now to mentor the young freshman that you have on the team this year?
I think I learned that even though golf is such an individualized sport, it goes beyond just your team. You know, we want our conference to have the best opportunities as possible. So seeing that act very classy and definitely inspired me to try and be a better person out there besides outside of golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. So what are some of the things, obviously we mentioned it before, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to at the Big East tournament? Obviously, I talked to you earlier, we're going to have a Big East golf preview episode. That's what we're going to try to do with all the spring sports here. But I want to ask you now, and we're probably going to ask you again a little in a couple of weeks, but what are some of the things about 2.5 weeks out, 3 weeks out from Big East? So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in that tournament?
I'm looking forward to competing against all the Big East schools, and I think it's a really good opportunity to show the conference what we can do, and I'm excited to see what the team can do. Just excited.
And I think when we had Coach Harper on way back when, he was pumped up, ready to go, and that was in December, mind you, and like that's months out. Even when we talked to Gregor about when they went on their run, his excitement about this team was really, really cool. So what are some of the things that Coach Harper is talking to you guys about as you draw closer? Like, what is he kind of instilling in you as you play your final kind of warm-up tournaments going into that championship?
There's definitely a process for us to prepare for Big East. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a little bit different on what they need to work on, and Coach Harper is getting on that, telling everyone what they need to do. And typically we would feel like Big East matters more than the other tournaments. Mm-hmm. And I think Coach is doing a very good job to make sure that every tournament matters, and Big East is just another one, and we need to just do what we do.
Yeah.
It's like preparing each tournament, no matter like which one it is, the same. So when the actual Big East tournament comes, mm-hmm. or the big moment comes, it's just the same thing every time. I mean, there was, I forget who was talking about this preparation. It was something I saw recently. I think it was actually Derek Jeter talked about it in baseball. It was like he trained spring training games prepared the same way as it did for like World Series games. Then nothing mm-hmm. changed. And I think you have a very similar demeanor. Like when you go in, probably train, it's very practice a non-tournament or a non-conference tournament, whatnot. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You're probably just preparing the same way. Yeah. And when we talked to Coach Harper, he mentioned, I don't remember the exact words, but like one word or one phrase, one sentence can like kind of change your outlook or help you stay positive, stay locked in. Yeah. Has there been any like mental techniques or even like a phrase that you say to yourself that helps you, I guess, lock in on the golf course and want to share with us?
Sorry, I don't have one.
No, I haven't. You just go. Love it, man. It's even better.
I try to just stick with the game plan I made throughout the course. That's where I draw my focus to get rid of the other distractions.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned in the beginning episode, like not saying like just staying level-headed, staying like with a plan and whatnot. If you're hitting like, let's say a shot goes like in the rough or something like that, it's just not like, oh, whatever, like here we go, we'll just get out of the rough. Mm-hmm. It's not like, man, like I hit the rough, we're screwed now. Like it's just next shot kind of more mentality.
Yeah, so I think the body language affects the mind. Sure. So when we react badly to a golf shot, I think that affects us mentally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's very important to remember your mistakes and then let it go and then move on, because the round's not done. There's more to do.
Right. Yeah. Don't let the one shot affect the rest of the round.
Yep.
Yeah. What how would you recommend someone, this is like, I guess for any sport, not just golf, because I guess they talk about like in basketball, and I'm thinking about March Madness, like a lot of the body language, like you miss 9 shots out of 10, but those 9 shots only took 9 seconds or something like that.
Right.
You still have like 20 minutes left in the game. It's like what you did with the other 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
In golf, you have one shot, it doesn't go your way. It's like, what would your advice be to a younger person, I guess, golfing, to not let that one shot affect the rest of the round or rest of the match?
I think everyone's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with what I said. I think having sticking with the plan that you made prior to the round gives you a more consistent mindset.
Sure.
Over, you know, the shots or the mistakes you've made. And definitely, you can get angry, you can get frustrated, but you gotta let it go.
Yeah.
By the time you are on the next shot.
I see. I don't know how you seem like so mature with all this. Like, man, I wish, like, for myself, like, man, if I had that, I think I'd be doing a lot better. And I think
I'm sure you do.
No, it's I can see like how it's like maturity that you have. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's amazing. So I'm not going to say my prediction, but I have a prediction for one of our walk the plank questions later.
Okay.
I think I know what the answer might be.
Okay.
Just
all
reading
right.
The tea leaves here a little bit, but I think I might know. So as we transition out of the golf aspect of things, I want to talk about a little bit about the academic side of things. So you got your bachelor's in economics. You're getting your graduate degree now. So what were some of the things that you took out of your bachelor's that are now implementing into your graduate degree?
Time management, definitely. I struggled a little bit during COVID with that, even though we had all the time in the world. Managing my time and balancing between the sport and the school was definitely very important. And having that experience of struggling academically with time management helped me a lot going into graduate school.
Mm-hmm. This is bad on host. What are you getting your graduate degree in? Are you in the same MBA program as Walker?
No, I'm currently in the certificate program of business.
Okay, sweet.
And I'm hoping to transition or take the credits I have now into a finance MBA.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to post-college life that some of the goals you have post-college life in a career or something like that?
I want to try and turn professional. I'll try for
nice.
2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can find funds for that. And and the plan B is sort of just work in the field of investment analytics.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy doing that. So.
Sweet.
Well, let's talk pro golf over here.
Yeah.
I know Corn Ferry and these different terms that I don't really know how they apply and all stack up in terms of that, but I would love to hear kind of explanations from you. We heard this from Gregor
yes.
a little bit, and I know Dre is kind of going through this route right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a similar route for you going like that route?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Got it.
It would actually be very similar to what Dre
sure.
is doing, going through a mini tour and then going qualify through those tournaments and moving up from there.
Awesome. Well, that would happen. When would that start after this year?
I would like to, but honestly,
okay.
I'm not too sure.
Got it. Okay. So hey, we'll fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you asked Gregor or Andreas like their advice going into this? Now they're year two going through this pro route, right? So
mm-hmm.
have you asked them any advice from them to kind of kickstart your pro career?
Definitely. I've phoned them a lot asking about how I can improve or what they can tell me about their experience going through that, and they've been very helpful. They're awesome people. So.
Yeah, I know when we talked to Gregor way back in January, he was getting ready to play in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think he was going back to, I forget the whole.
He was in England. We're
he
talking.
Was in, yeah, he
yeah.
was in England in the dark. Funny story with him, his Zoom call shut off on us,
yeah.
but we made it work. But yeah, super excited to see where that takes you, and I can't wait to watch. I know you can't wait to watch. So we're going to start wrapping up here with our second to last segment of advice to a pirate. So being a golfer, it takes a lot of mental strength to get through long rounds of golf each and every weekend. So what advice would you give to Seton Hall student athletes that may be facing an uphill challenge mentally within their sport in a game, in a practice, to really uplift them and really charge through those tough times and be able to come out on top?
I guess that it's okay to feel burned out. And I think at the end of the day, it is just a game. There is tomorrow. And especially for golf, when it can get very frustrating because, you know, there's just a lot going on, a lot of random variables out there. Sometimes can't even be your fault that you are playing bad and you wouldn't even know it. So I think having a positive outlook and just take some time off and like come back to it when you feel ready.
Beautiful.
Love it. It's like not, it's like caring enough not to care and not holding on so tight.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the, it's not everything at the end of the day, but yeah, no, it's awesome. I think awesome. We'll walk the walk.
Yeah, it's time for, so it's time for Let's walk the it. Plank. These are shorter based questions that I hope you're ready for. We got some good ones this week. So, yeah. What is your dream golf course to play on?
The Augusta. Oh,
yeah, that's coming up this week. So that leads in perfectly into our next question here is, who do you think will win the Masters this upcoming weekend?
Probably Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, but he's on a roll.
Yeah, but I really want Rory McIlroy to win one because
he has none right now, right?
Yep, and I'm a huge fan of his, and he needs to win the Masters to complete the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. So I just want to see it one time.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Keep an eye out for him this weekend as we get into Masters week. That starts Thursday, right? Par 3 contest Wednesday.
Yep.
And then starts Thursday. Wow. Sweet.
Yeah, a lot of the baseball guys are big golf fans, and they had that on the TV a lot last year. So, awesome. Yeah. We'll go into the next one. We did a little bit of research on, I did some Instagram stalking of you. I'm new to Instagram, so there we go. What was your favorite piece of art that you've done? I saw some artwork on your Instagram.
Yeah, so it looked really cool.
There's a, what was it, pen? What do you call it? Pen?
Stippling?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry. So there was some really cool ones, an elephant and whatnot. What was your favorite one you've done?
I did one while taking a art class here at CNL, actually. It was just of a cat just staring into nothing. That's my favorite one.
Is that on the Instagram?
No. I can show you a picture.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're going to have to see a picture piece. The ones that he pulled up were phenomenal.
Really cool.
Very, very cool. Do you do any other artwork on the side of after... when you're not playing golf now, keeping up with that.
Here you go for everyone else looking. This is the one I was thinking of. I'm like, wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I'm new to Instagram. So I'm allowed to Instagram.
I don't use it.
Really neat.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's very therapeutic. You can sit there and focus on what's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. I think it helps sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So what is your go-to pump-up song before a match?
Do you have a pump-up song before a match? I don't know. Based on the vibe you're getting, like, you seem just like, let's go right into it, let's go.
I don't know, I kind of put it on shuffle.
Hey, I love it.
Yeah. There we go. Do you want to break down this question, this next one?
Sure, I do this. We talked about whether the student-athlete likes the hot tub more or the cold tub, or likes the contrast of both of them.
Yeah.
So, with you, are you a hot tub guy, cold tub guy, or contrast?
Hot tub.
Hot tub.
All day. Yep.
No cold tub at all?
No.
Well, okay. it's funny to hear everyone's answer. It's like, I got 2 minutes in the cold and like 5 minutes in the hot. So
I think they're just trying to break it down to see if like, oh, if Caitlin or Gabriel is like, oh yeah, we go to cold for sure. Yeah, for 2 minutes. Yeah, no. In your opinion, what is the hardest shot in golf?
A straight one.
That's perfect.
Seriously.
That's perfect. Yeah. And then the last one, in one word, describe your playing style.
Steady.
Steady.
Yeah,
okay, I was wrong. This was the question that I thought, okay, I was thinking tactical, like how you were talking about how like in every shot it has I map it out and but steady. I like that. Yeah. It's awesome. I think that's another first.
Yeah, it is another first. I think it makes perfect sense when you describe it all. So that's awesome.
Tactical is a good one too.
He's like, maybe I can change that now. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. That's all for me, Jonathan.
That's all for me. So, Wen, thank you for coming on. I know it was kind of last minute, too. I think it was last week when I texted you, and to make this work was awesome.
Yeah.
Get a men's golfer out there. Good luck in upcoming tournaments and Big East play to you and the rest of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's all I got. So, Wen, thank you, man. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. And as I said, we're going to have a lot of stuff coming out in the next couple weeks. Hopefully, we'll get some basketball players on to talk about their NIT wins. That was a huge win a couple days ago. So that's the goal, but we're going to work on that. They got a lot of media time with other people. So hopefully we get that going. And then a lot of more, like I said, a lot more spring stuff to cover. So from Wen Zhi, Justin Ostwick, Jonathan Luters, we'll see you next time.